Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
I can fly you out to Paris. Yeah. Okay. Buy you some carrots.
And welcome to another episode of Convos with Manny. I am talking to Diana. Now, this is a thing that I've been doing recently. Diana, welcome. I'm so glad that you're on. Because like I was telling you before I started recording that a lot of people don't like to get on with me because they think I'm going to attack them or be something negative. And this is a series called Facebook Disagreements. So there have been times in the past where people say, oh, he always answers back to people. He shuts people down or don't want to talk to people who disagree with him. And I'm like, I don't ever try to shut people down. I try to have meaningful conversations, but I do understand within the context of Facebook, so many things can be taken in a wrong way, you know? So a lot of times people tell me that, you know, I don't want to, or I try to shut people down who disagree. And I'm firmly like, no, I don't ever want to shut anybody down. Like, I want to hear people's reasoning. The one thing that gets me is when somebody comes onto my page and if someone leads with accusation, then I respond as such, you know what I'm saying? So I always tell people there's a difference between being defensive and then defending your truth.
Sure.
Two very big differences. So I'm going to read my post and then do you have your response or you want me to read your response?
Yeah.
Okay. So
I mean, I don't have it. You mean my Facebook response?
Yes, your Facebook response.
I will get it.
Okay.
Well, you're getting yours.
I have mine. Let me
make
sure you get yours. No, because I want you to hear mine so that that way you can, and then I want to hear yours.
The one that I already read.
The first one that you said.
Okay.
The first one that you posted that started all of this.
That started the whole thing.
Yes.
All right. Hold
you on. Have it?
All right. Okay. I have it.
Okay, so I'm going to read mine, and hopefully you can hear everything that I'm saying. Okay, so I said, happy Sunday. I'm reflecting on the high school me who had a poverty mentality that only believed that the best God had for me was going to be struggling all my life. Back then, as I am now, I was into cars. And thought, man, Jesus, if I could just get a Toyota Tercel, I could put ground effects on it and glue a BMW badge on it and just pretend I had one. Now growing older, I realize it had or has nothing to do with what kind of car you drive, but everything to do with how you see life and yourself. I used to feel like I didn't deserve anything because I was so broken. Somehow my faults would be the reason I never achieved or progressed in life. Then I learned the most valuable lesson. The highest achievement of my life will always be accepting I am a son of God. And because I am such, I will always have an abundance. This isn't prosperity preaching. I'm talking about what truly matters. My friends and family are healthy. We're rich. My wife loves me and supports me. I'm rich. We got food, a house, and love in our life. We rich. The hurt will see a flex. Those who need this, who are still stuck in a poor man's mentality or have gotten out of it, will know exactly what I'm talking about. I love you and believe in you. Getting older, hashtag getting older, hashtag understanding a little more, hashtag I know what it's about now. So you heard all those words.
I did.
Okay. Now your response.
Okay. Why is the Christian man in front of expensive cars talking about how he sees himself? Where is God in this? Where is the glory going?
Okay. So do you feel that your statement, after hearing me read this, because you've read it before, do you feel like your statement is still accurate?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I feel like the conversation went on from there and I got a little clarification, but I still think that...
Say your comment again, though.
Why is a Christian... This one?
Yep, yep.
Why is a Christian man in front of expensive cars talking about how he sees himself? Where is God in this and where is the glory going?
Okay. So when you say, why is a Christian man in front of expensive cars? So just that statement, fundamentally speaking, is it bad to have expensive cars?
No.
Okay. So the second statement, talking about himself.
How he sees himself.
How he sees himself.
Yeah. Right.
Which is me giving testimony to what God has done in me. The only person I could talk about is myself because I don't know what God has done in anyone else. So if I say, this is what God has done in me, how else can I give testimony about what God has done in me without speaking about myself?
Yeah.
No, I'm asking you a question.
Oh, well, I really think that you can't. You're right. I mean, talking, you can only talk from your own perspective and have your own testimony.
Okay. So now the third statement was?
Where is God in this?
Okay. So when I say, I learned the most valuable lesson, the highest achievement my life will always be accepting I am a son of God.
Okay. May I comment about that?
What does that mean to you?
That means that is about your identity, which I think is awesome that you are a child of God. And it is definitely your identity. And it comes with a sense of confidence. It comes with a sense of being taken care of.
But what does it mean?
It means that your focus is your identity, which I think is great. But I
No. When someone says, I am a son of God, what does that mean?
It means your identity is that you are a son of God. that means you're a Christian.
Okay, but where am I finding my identity?
You're finding your identity in being a part of God's family.
But where am I finding my identity? Not, I didn't say I'm a part of the family of God. What did I said I am a son of God. That will be my greatest accomplishment. So where am I finding my identity?
You're finding your identity in God.
That's the only person I'm talking about, right?
No.
I'm not talking,
talking about you.
Okay.
The only person you're talking about is you and your identity in God, which is fine. But here's my thing. Let's talk for a second.
Okay, go.
I know what you're trying to say. Like, I know what you're trying to get at. But here's the thing is giving God the glory, there's a fine line we walk when it comes to, I love my blessings. I love what God has given me. Thank you, God, for my blessings. I don't have to struggle. I don't have to live this life of poverty. I don't have to do this. Thank you, God, so much for this. But I feel like that the focus was misleading and the picture was misleading and it was a little bit of a baiting of like a flex kind of thing. And I feel like, yeah, sure, we need to read the post and we need to like give you the benefit of the doubt. But I feel like giving God the glory should be first and foremost. The most focused part of that post should have been God gets the glory. Yes, I am a child of God as my identity. Sure, great. But that is still kind of self-focused. And I feel like as far as your music goes and as far as your career and like the whole picture of who, you know, Memo Reyes is and like what I've seen of this whole like this thing that you're portraying on Facebook is God gets the glory. I mean, God gets the glory 100% of the time. And that's why I was kind of came at it with a question, like, what's happening? You know, like, let's not lose the focus on, well, blessings are great. Yeah. But there are people in this world that don't even have one car that feel just as blessed as anybody with three cars or whatever's going on there.
Okay. And that's a valid point. That's a valid point. So, now, my question is this then.
Prosperity.
Here's another question. So what you got caught up is that you thought I was saying I was talking about prosperity.
It just felt like that to me. I know that you said it's not about prosperity, but
wait. You can't stop. How can you wait? Okay, this is what's interesting. Yeah. How can you say, I know you said it's not about prosperity, but. Okay, so what you're saying is, you've already acknowledged that to you, it is not about prosperity, but.
Well, but there's a caveat. Like, there's more to it. Like, I understand your intention was not prosperity. Your intention was not to communicate the prosperity gospel and be all about blessings, right? That was your intention. My comment being in the form of questions was like, please clarify that you are giving God the glory. Please clarify that this Christian man is okay. Not sitting in front of these cars and flexing, because I know you say this ain't flex, you know, this is not about prosperity, but you know, I go with the entire picture of what the post is portraying, and it was misleading. And I was like, I don't want people to come across this page and to come across this artist and be like, you know, like there was a picture of Lecrae recently sitting on a big square of dollar bills or whatever it was. And I was like, sure, you could do that. It's fine, whatever. But people that don't know his music and that don't know how deep he can get, same with you. People that don't know how deep you can get are going to perceive that in a way.
So
that,
you're
okay, sure.
Your concern was my image and the people seeing that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
so
I wanted to clarify. I wasn't about attacking necessarily, but I do that.
I mean, that statement. That statement, where is God in this? That's not like that's you don't see that as attacking.
I see it as challenging.
I think that's a little bit of a BS answer right there.
But what you are saying
is, where is God in this? That's not a question. That's a statement.
Pull God out. Like, okay. Pull God more.
Okay. Maybe. So. Okay, so I'm going to take that even further then. So your concern was the people misinterpreting me.
Yeah, I wanted to clarify.
Okay. So you're saying when I said the most valuable lesson, the highest achievement is I'm a son of God. And because I am such, I will always have abundance because I am a son of God, of the Most High. I'm not done. This isn't prosperity preaching. I'm talking about what truly matters. My friends and family are healthy. We're rich. So you already know I'm no longer talking about money. I'm not done.
Show a picture of your friends and family. Show a picture of them.
No, but you don't want to. But the metaphor was, as a kid, when I was in a poverty mentality, I loved cars. Okay. I didn't think I deserved anything. So the story was, I thought the best I could get was a Toyota Tercel.
Right.
So when you fast forward and see, okay, yeah, now I have nice cars. The whole thing was a metaphor for a breaking of the mentality. Mm. Now I'm using cars because as a kid and now I love cars. I love cars. They bring me a lot of enjoyment, and I know it's not wrong. It's not a wrong thing to have cars. But I was using the illustration of cars to be like, look, I used to have the mentality of this being the best. I'm using something that everyone in this world can equate. So everybody knows the brand Toyota. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows the brand BMW and Porsche. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows which one's more valuable, which one's not, which one's whatever. So I'm using a very simple way, a parable, so that people can understand, oh, my mind has elevated in thinking. Like the cars have elevated in value. Mm. But in order to address people that would think the way you would think is why I said, but this is not about prosperity. This is about what truly matters. My family and friends are healthy. My wife loves me. I have food. I have a house and I have love in my life. These are the things that are important, which is what I say literally. So someone would have to either do two things. One, completely disregard that I said that, or two, say that I'm full of crap. Because that's the only way. Because then if you go further and you say, oh, well, I'm concerned about the people, right?
Yeah, I'm concerned about
Then I go to the people that you are concerned about. All right? Because if it was so misleading, my thread will be filled with people who are misled. Let me tell you what my prayer is filled with. Praise God, your eyes have been opened. The free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. Thank you for so much. This is a beautiful reminder of how rich we truly are. I love how you talk about poverty and the negative mindset. That's how I grew up. Love it. Who has gotten to that place to be happy in every stage, learning from everything? I can see you writing a great song about this. You are super blessed. I'm happy anyone that has what you have. Love this post. The haters will hate. Good words of wisdom. I can keep going. Stay in those blessings, brother. God provides. You are so right. It's beautiful when people can see themselves as enriched by counting the blessings they have. Beautifully said. Your sonship with God is the key to the inheritance. Proud of you for defeating that mindset. These are all different. You show me that God is good in all seasons. Bless you, bro. Thanks, Manny. Thankful for God's faithfulness to continue to heal and grow us. You are so right, Manuel. God is merciful and allows us to come and grow. And I'm not skipping negative comments. This is not me skipping. I'm not cherry picking. I'm just reading straight down the line. No need to convince us, my brother. No need to defend what is pure and blameless. You always had a good heart. God doesn't mind people having blessings in their life if their heart is in the right place. One person, did half of y'all miss the point of this post? Because it's clear. I support you. We rich. Those Porsches in the background, though, amen. Truth. Amen, buddy. You are blessed indeed. Powerful. Love this. You are an inspiration. I can keep going. So apparently, either we all are misled. Like, I don't understand. Like, maybe everyone did not see it, or could it be? Could it be, Diana? Is there a small possibility that there is an ounce of projection going on, and that something about the post triggered you? Is that at all a possibility? Considering that 99% of the people were blessed and understood exactly what I meant, my true intent. Because you were questioning my intention, and I know my intention, and apparently most of them know my intention. So
maybe I don't have the perspective that most of your fans have. Maybe my perspective is different, and I'm willing to understand, like, this desire to get out of a poverty mentality. Like, I don't understand that. I'm willing to understand that, but I mean, growing up in a poverty, I don't even really understand poverty mentality, the term. So maybe it is because I'm from a different, like,
okay,
situation.
Okay, well, let me ask you something then, because that's a beautiful point you brought up. Yeah. If you don't understand poverty mentality, the term, then what made you so confidently make that comment?
Was it about confidently making a comment, or was it about instigating discussion?
You literally said, where is God in this?
Which was the question.
But it wasn't just a question. You have to be honest. It wasn't a question. It wasn't a question.
No, there was question marks.
Like, no, Diana, the first thing I told you. The first thing I told you was be honest. That was not a question. You put a question mark in it, but it was more of a statement.
Where is God? Show me. Pull God out. Okay, so maybe I could have rephrased it. Maybe I could have said, please show God more in this post. Amen. I love what you do, blah, blah, blah. Maybe I should have started with more positivity. Maybe I should have been like, okay, so if I could go back in time and, you know, obviously I've dishonored the majority of people on your post. Everybody's all pissed off at me.
Nah, don't worry about them. Don't worry about them.
It's like I got driving a Prius. I don't even know what that means.
Don't worry about them. I don't care about that. That's
you know, but so I pushed some buttons, okay, with my questions that were, but it wasn't like I was sitting over here thinking, you know, I really wanted to know. Like, so many artists that I love, okay, fall into this trap. Of like, you know, once they start getting successful, or once they start achieving goals, or once they start, you know, there's always this danger of like them losing sight of what's really important. Mm-hmm. And I know you posted, yes, this is what's really important and stuff, but
you can't skip over that. I kind of feel like you're skipping over that. Like you're saying, I know.
Well, no, because you're going to bring it up and you're going to remind me that that's what you said in there.
Well, I don't want to remind you. I want you to, like, I want to make sure that you don't over, like, it kind of feels like you're stepping over it.
Because I'm going to a different point.
No, so I know. I understand that.
Over it.
I know. But when you say that.
I'm not skipping. I'm just saying, there it is. And we're passing by that point. And
but talk about here's the thing, though. About to make. Whenever you use the word but after it, you're disregarding what comes before but.
No, I'm not disregarding it. It's just not what I'm talking about right now. So what I'm talking about is, okay, so I see things in big pictures. Okay?
Okay.
Like I look at the entire picture of things and I put it all together as like this. I don't look at just one. I don't hone in on one detail or one aspect of a post or a picture or a book or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I look at the whole picture and I say, what message is this sending? Mm-hmm. I don't understand. I want to see God more in this.
Like, okay.
I get you. You've pulled yourself up by your bootstraps. You're out of that poverty mentality. The Lord is blessing you. Hallelujah. But I'm not feeling the hallelujah as much. I was not. And I've posted on stuff before that you've done. And I've never like been challenged, or I haven't been challenging. You know, I wasn't like, I've said a couple things on posts here and there, and I'm not the kind of person to just like start crap. I really was like, no, not him too. You know, like he's going, like, I'm just.
No, you're saying, I love this. Cause you're letting
him. Just show me more God, you know, show me more. Like, I get poverty mentality and yay for victories and stuff. And like, but please, I just want God to get the glory.
You are, okay. More. I love it. Now. Here's and I just want you to listen to this with the open heart. So what you let us in about yourself, right, was that you've seen it happen before with other artists.
Mm-hmm.
So you've already admitted that you had a bias.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a bias. You were not looking at this post objectively.
Well, nobody does. Everybody has their own perspective.
There's a perspective, and then there's a bias. If you're not,
there's concern. And that's where I was coming from.
But what I'm saying is you're not acknowledging the bias. So you're saying that because other people have made money and then turned into something that you didn't see as giving God the glory, mm-hmm. now that picture was projected onto me. So my intent didn't matter.
No, it did. I wanted to know it. That's why I asked the question.
I understand.
Show me more God. Where's God in this?
Okay, then there's the second thing. You saying, show you more God.
Please.
But then what you did was completely overlook and what's the right word here? Belittle my story. Because you don't understand what a poverty mentality is, because you didn't come out of where I came out of, you're literally saying, show you more God. While I'm saying, holy crap, look at what God did in my life. So you're looking at my testimony, my story, the way I'm telling people my story, and you're saying, show me more God?
Mm-hmm.
As if you're the determining factor of what more God looks like?
No, I just, that's my desire, is to see.
I know,
God.
But now you're doing exactly what you're accusing me of doing. What? Because now you're putting onto me what you think is more God.
Hmm.
As opposed to saying, I may not come from where he comes from, so maybe this isn't hitting me like it hits him. So you have no idea about my past. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know how hard it's taken for me to go from there to here. You don't know what cars mean in my life. You don't know what cars mean in my family. You see it as material things. I see it as so much more. You don't know how many times I've had drives home from Bible college crying in my car, looking at my convertible, thanking Jesus. You don't know how many times I've taken drives and just seen the imagery of God in my cars and where I connect so much, and the amount of times that I cry and cry and cry while I'm driving because my cars are my safe space. Because I freaking praise God in my car more than anywhere else. So you have no idea what cars mean to me. You just take your opinion, your bias, and then you say things like, I want more God. So you don't even acknowledge or think that that is like demeaning to me.
It's not demeaning unless it's like.
Listen to what you're saying. You're not listening to me and hearing me. You're saying it's not demeaning, but I'm telling you,
my intention wasn't.
Exactly. So exactly how you said, hey, your intention may not have been to just praise God. It looks like you're flexing, right? You're saying that I had a good intention, but then it came off as this because that's how you saw it. So I'm telling you, your intention is belittling my praise. Because you're not even, these are all the wrong questions. And the reason I know this is because every single person that posted that you said, oh, your fans are coming at me, they're not coming at you because they just want to defend me. They're coming at you because they felt my intention. And they completely and utterly disagree with your assessment of my intention. So you saying, why is a Christian man in front of expensive cars talking about how he sees himself? Question mark. Nobody took that as a question. Where is God in this? Question mark. Nobody took that as a question. Nobody.
Yeah.
You have 82 replies. All of which are saying, are you serious? Did you not read what we read? Did you not see? Are you not? I don't understand. One person even said, this is why I left the church. This is why I left. And see, I have conversations with people like this, and I don't think they understand. Like, I understand people's concern for what I say because they think that my words carry this weight and they're afraid of what it's going to mean to other people. But then they read the comments at how many people are saying that they're blessed by what I'm saying, and still they hold to the value that they are correct in their assessment of what I said.
I am not gonna hold to me being correct. Like, that's, I am so thankful that you shared more of your story with me, because I really don't know what it's like to grow up and to have cars as such a thing. Okay, because I'm a girl, but not saying that girls don't love cars.
No, I get it.
But I have other things that are really important to me that I would love to have, or that, you know, I pray for, or whatever. And so, yeah, I wouldn't want anybody
like
to tell me that I was.
I don't be embarrassed. I love this stuff. What do you pray for? What would you like to have?
They're not material, is the thing.
It's okay.
I want a stable home life for my children.
Okay. So. What about now is not stable?
Really?
I want to get to know you. This is not
even the topic.
It is the topic, because if I just sit here and talk at you without any desire of wanting to get to know you, then I can make the same presumptions that you made about me.
That's my point. And I thought that's what this was about.
Yeah, but now it's about me showing you that I actually give a crap about you, the person. I don't want to not understand you.
Well, and I wish that we had time for me to explain to you what my hopes and dreams for my family is. But, you know, honestly, I think I'm really learning a lot from this conversation. I've learned a lot from this whole experience. I was really happy that this happened while I was driving home from my staff retreat with my coworkers, because I shared all of this with them and I walked through it with them. And I said, I really asked for their honest opinion about things. And of course, you know, they come from similar situations. You know, we're all in similar career and we're all doing. And so they understood my perspective. They understood my bias, you know, because that's we have our people, right? We have our people that have grown up. And I relate to hip hop music and rap music in a way that the people that I hang out with don't. Like, I'm the only person in my circle that listens to that kind of music, really. I mean, I have a couple of people that have tried, oh, that's interesting. Who's that? You know, but I didn't grow up in a typical like situation where, you know, I don't want to say any stereotypes, but I feel like I have a lot to learn about where people have grown up and what they've dealt with in their life. And I am not saying, and I never wanted to belittle your faith or belittle anybody's experience with God. I just, like you said, I guess my trigger point was that I was worried about one of my favorite artists. You know, I'm tired of seeing this crap. You know, I'm tired of like the world and the devil taking good artists, good musicians, and bringing them down with pride or whatever's going on. And so I'm glad that it instigated a conversation, and I'm glad I'm learning more about your perspective, because I feel so much better about where you're at and like what you know, I want you to make more Christian music. I was like showing my coworkers, let's listen to one of his songs. Like one of your songs is phenomenal from the Power album. I was like, listen to this song, listen to what he's talking about. Like, this is not the same guy. I feel like this is not like what's happening to him. Like, I really wanted to make sure that this is what I thought was happening and my perspective was not happening. So I'm glad I'm getting clarification, and obviously I was the only person in however many commenters that felt like that was something to be concerned about. And I'm glad. I just didn't need to be attacked about it. Cause
like, I mean, people on Facebook,
okay, I can handle it.
They're going to go ham. Yeah. They're going to go ham because look, the way your first comment was harsh. It was harsh, and they don't know you.
So lesson learned, because I think I did comment in a way that was instigating, in a way that was, yeah, like you said, belittling your actually giving God the glory. But I just felt like it got hidden. And so my desire really wasn't to belittle you or to act like I was holier than thou or any crap like that, or be judgmental. That really was not my desire. My desire was, can we just pull God out of this more? I want to see God first and foremost. I want him to be front and center all the time. And I get it. Our stories are us, and that's our perspective. And so we have to be the face of our testimony, and we have to talk about our experience. But, you know, the prosperity gospel and all that goes along with that is very misleading. And I know that's not what you're going for, but I was like, red flags about that, you know, and that's
which is interesting, because what happens is, what we don't understand, when I say projection, your red flags were red flags inside of you. Mm-hmm. They weren't my red flags. So whenever I get comments like this, the reason I want to have conversations is because I can ask three questions, and by the time we're done with those three questions, we will know that this has nothing to do with me. This has everything to do with you. Mm-hmm. So the biases and the projections that you hold, you have a relationship with money that needs to be addressed. I'm free in my money. Like, I already know. And the reason I know that is because I know how much I give away. I know how many people I'm helping. I know Lecrae. I've had conversations with him. I know a lot of these people. And we can get accused of so many things because people don't know us. And nobody, I don't think they're ever really going to take time to have a conversation like this. And that's no diss on them. It's just that I don't know anybody that really does this. I started doing it because I saw my comment section blow up in negative ways. And I even commented to somebody that commented to you negatively. And I said, look, I'm not mad at her. I'm not angry at her. She's just projecting, and she doesn't know it. She honestly thinks that she is taking a stand for the gospel. But she thinks that because she doesn't know me. She has no idea who I am. She doesn't know my story. She can't hear the passion that these words are coming from. She doesn't hear the heart, the labor, the 30 years of struggling. Like, you want to stable home for your kids. I want to stable home for my wife. I work hard. I get up at 4 a.m. every morning to do these videos, to make these posts, to try to encourage and help people. I spend my life trying to help people. So the irony is that people then take 2 seconds out of their life, read something really quick, and then just vomit onto my page whatever they think I'm trying to do, as opposed to being like, let me just ask him, like a real question. Not an insinuating question, an actual question.
That's those kind of questions I ask everybody.
But I'm like that. But see,
I get accused of being harsh all the time, because I do ask. My favorite question is why. Why are you doing this? Why?
Because that's not what, to people, it doesn't come off as a question. It comes off as an accusation, which is why people responded the way they do.
Which is why I need Jesus.
Well, we all do. I mean, we all do. And this whole point of this conversation is not to make you feel bad, but to make you understand that your words have weight. Mm-hmm. And when you speak them, you're not just speaking something frivolous. And there are people that are mature enough to look at that to what you're saying, and I can hear what you're really saying. That's why I wanted to talk to you. That's why at the beginning I'm like, these aren't questions. You have question marks, but they are not questions. I know this. I'm just waiting for you to admit it. Because then we can start having a real honest conversation on why. And the whys are that you have a relationship with money that needs to be addressed. I don't know what it is because obviously we don't have time.
I don't think it's money. I don't think
it is money. It is money.
Why?
It's 100% money. Because that was the trigger. No. That was the trigger.
I already told you my trigger. My trigger is watching artists fall to pride. That's my trigger.
But what made you think it was pride?
Because money is a thing. Because the love of money is the root of all evil.
Okay.
But I don't have like.
But wait, you just mentioned money. Money is the issue. What you had a problem with, or what you vocalized, okay? Because your first thing,
money is the root of all kinds of evil.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Not my bias.
No, the love of money, not money. The love of money. That's a big difference. That's a big difference. Because I have money.
You can't love both God and money. So
I understand that.
I'm not accusing you of misusing money or that. So, and I don't even want this to be about money because really originally that wasn't my trigger. Like money is not a trigger for me.
You want to know how I know it was a trigger? You want to know how I know money was a trigger? Because in your statement, your first statement, you added the word expensive.
Oh, yeah.
If money wasn't the trigger, you would have never added the word expensive. You would have just said, why is he in front of those cars?
Well, if you were in front of three broken down cars at a junkyard,
you wouldn't have said nothing. You wouldn't have said nothing, right? So your relationship with money is an issue.
No, my relationship's not an issue. Christian artist relationship with money. And how, because honestly, I'm never going to have enough money to have a problem with money.
Like, no, but that's not what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. You have an issue with money because of, you're making it seem as if that what I'm saying is your relationship with money is just personal. I'm not just saying that. I'm saying your relationship with money is dictating how you view other people. So you're thinking, oh, the way these guys are spending money is a problem.
No, the way that you portrayed money or like this possession or things you get with money, the way that you portrayed it and like.
Okay, but how did I portray
poverty mentality and getting out of poverty and things?
Right, like, but you self-admitted that you didn't even know what that meant.
Right, but originally I was like, so he got out of poverty. He's got these cars. He's really happy about it, but it's all about, you know, it feels like it's all about him and I'm not getting, I got like one little snippet of something about God in there. And I really was hoping to have more God stuff. Like I want more. That was the whole point. Like originally it was never about like my relationship with money or my perception of money or like, because really
if it's not about that, then what is it about? Because every time you bring up the explanation, it has to do with money.
Well, it's the perception of artists' relationship with money.
Okay, but once again, you're still talking about money. Because we have our own relationship with money.
Right, but money can just bring people down. You know, resources.
I understand that.
Bring people down.
But what about the way we're spending our money bothers you?
Well, it didn't bother me that you spent the money or that you had the money. It was a picture of what you're communicating, what you were communicating with the message behind the image and the not as much God in the post. That was the balance was off. And I wanted more God in the post. And
I would have said God,
like flex looking, like look at me with my cars. You know, it was just like, oh, come on. You know, I was like, I get what you're doing now because I talked to you. But originally I was like, what?
So like, you were triggered by money. I'm going to need you to come to an understanding about this because you keep saying no. But it all comes back to money because you already admitted that if it was 3 Toyota Corollas, you wouldn't have said anything.
Although people don't really need 3 cars.
I have 7. That doesn't matter.
You have 7 cars.
Yeah, and I sold 2. I had 9 altogether. So, but okay. That doesn't matter. That I mean, doesn't matter. If they were Toyota Corollas, would you have said anything?
Probably. Because just of the posture and like a picture.
No, no. If that you said you I can rewind this cuz you said if they were beaters, you wouldn't have said anything. You already admitted that.
In a junkyard.
Right. So, the difference between the beaters and my cars is what?
That would have been funny if you were in front of beaters.
What's the difference? What's the difference between beaters and my cars?
Because the obvious message behind the
cars. What is the difference between the beaters and my cars?
Because the obvious message is.
What's the difference?
The difference is the message.
No.
It's like, look what I got.
I'm asking you specifically, what is the difference between beaters and my cars?
Oh, you want me to say money?
No, I'm asking you the real question. Honestly, what's the difference between beaters and my cars?
Money.
Are you just saying it or do you really believe it?
No, you, okay. I think that we're getting to a point where you're, what's happening is, we're both probably saying the same thing. Although you're saying it's about money and I'm saying it's about the perception of when people have money. So I guess when you said that I have a problem with money, I thought that you were saying that I was jealous or something. And so I'm trying to clarify that's what it's about.
No, I'm so glad you said that. Okay. Yeah. Because now what you're saying is this is something else that I am now projecting. Mm-hmm. This is psychology. So this is important to be able to acknowledge. Okay. So you thought when I said you had a problem with money, you immediately translated that in your mind to, oh, he's saying I'm jealous. So then
or that I have like money problems.
Right, right. Yeah. But that's not what I'm saying.
Oh, well, that's how I took it. That's why I'm like, what do you want me to say?
But you took it that way because you have a certain relationship with money. And it is obvious and apparent because there are things concerning money and monetary value that trigger you. Yes. That's what happened in this post. You got triggered because you self-admitted that if they were just crappy cars, you wouldn't have said anything. Why? Because in this world, that's not a flex. It's not a flex standing in front of a Corolla, a Prius, and a Hyundai. Nobody would have said anything. The problem becomes when it's, your words, expensive cars.
Yeah.
So the reason I'm harping on this is not because I want you to think I'm trying to get you to be wrong. I'm trying to get you to see that if you don't acknowledge that there is an issue between you and money, then you're not going to be able to resolve this trigger. You're going to be triggered moving forward if you can't be honest with it. Like, hey, I may not know what it is, but something definitely bothers me when I see Christian people with expensive things and posting about it. Like,
I
something
know what, it is.
What do you think it is?
It's because it's harder for a rich man to get into heaven than it is for the camel to go through the eye of a needle.
So you're concerned with their souls?
Yeah.
So how come then you didn't lead with, hey man, I really care about your soul?
I know. That would have been good. That would have been so much better.
But no, but I think
I was in a hurry.
But here's why I think you didn't do it.
Because I was having a different conversation.
I think
and on my phone at the same
time. And this is me. I don't want to be I don't want to be presumptuous, but this is why I think you didn't do that.
Okay.
Because I think deep down you really want to believe. Or you would like yourself to be someone who genuinely cares about the soul of a person. But where you're at right now in life, the trigger is getting the priority. So you want to be, I really care about this person's soul. But right now, where you're at currently today, it's why the hell is he in front of these cars? Before, man, my heart is broken. I don't know if Manny's gonna make it, because if I feel like in the spirit realm, God's telling me that he's just about money right now. If you are in that spirit, then the way you're gonna approach me is way different than how you did. But the way you approached me was in the spirit of, why is this guy in front of three cars like this? So I think there's a desire to be there, and I think we all have a desire to care on that level, because that's like a Jesus level. That's like, I see through all the crap and I'm going to care on a very deep level.
Mm.
But if we're honest, most of us just, we don't get that far because
we shouldn't comment unless we're on a Jesus level.
Nah, I don't think that. I think it's more important to just acknowledge the triggers. That's what I'm trying to get you to, because I can tell you my triggers. So when somebody comments on my page without knowing me, I get triggered. I usually give them an opportunity to respond kindly. I'll usually respond the first time in a very calm demeanor. I don't really get angry with people because I already know, yo, 9 times out of 10, these people are projecting. The reason I know this is because they don't know me. If they knew me, then I would have to take what they're saying serious because they know me. You right. feel me? But if I would have did the same thing to you on your page and you just got a house for your kids, right? You just came up, you got a house. It's a big old house because you've been working your ass off. And now you got this house for your kids and you got this beautiful car to take them to school in. And you're just like, praise God, look what God gave me. And I'm triggered by money. And I was like, you know, some people don't even have a one-bedroom apartment, Diana. Do you really think that this is beneficial for everyone to show them that you got this?
You know what I would do?
What?
I would use that opportunity like you just have. And I would enlighten them on my story.
But would you get upset first? Would it hurt you?
Not
be honest. If someone accused,
you gotta consider the source. It depends. If they knew me.
No. If they didn't know you. If they didn't. If they didn't know you and they just came out of nowhere.
I don't get upset when people comment. Like all those people that commented on my Prius or whatever I got. You know, like I'm not a Christian now. I'm judgmental. And I mean, they were saying some mean stuff to me.
Yeah, people get.
It doesn't bother me. Who are these people? They have no idea my story. I don't need to defend myself to anybody or prove myself. Exactly. But the thing is that if somebody was genuinely wanting to know, where is God in this, Diana? Where is God in you in this? I'd be like, let me tell you where God is.
Oh,
let
yeah.
Open this up for you.
If someone is genuine.
A whole video. I will put a whole post. I will do everything I can to give glory to God and be like, let me write a song about it. Let me have a video about it. Let me just show you where God has.
If someone was genuine, if someone was genuine, if someone was genuine, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about someone came out their butt and just literally broke down your relationship with God in one or two sentences, like you did to me.
Well, yeah, and then you.
You cannot tell me that wouldn't hit you in a way that you're like, I can't believe this person said this. They don't know me.
Well, and you don't, yeah,
no, it would affect you. It would completely affect you in an honest way. It would affect you.
I'm sorry. I am honestly.
I appreciate. I know you are. You are. I already know you have a good heart.
I really just want to throw this crap out there and see what happens. Like I like going fishing. I like trolling.
This is not a good look for you.
Everybody has their moments where they're just like, I'm just going to throw this comment in there and see what happens.
It is not a good look. It is not a good look. This is why.
And you know what? I'm really glad you called me out on it because this is really going to change my mind about how I comment, especially on your page because you can't.
No, I need you to. I need it to be on everybody's page because the only reason I wanted to have this conversation is because I believe I have a. I can't control how everybody views me. I can't. I can't control what everybody thinks. You know, I've lost like 4,000 followers since I started posting personal stuff on Groupon Cruise page. Because everybody tries to accuse me of not being Christian. Earlier you said today, you were like, I wish you was making Christian music. Somebody posted that on the same post. On yesterday's post when I posted about my song that just came out. And he said, how is this Christian? And I said, music can't be Christian. There's no such thing as Christian music. Music does not have a soul. It doesn't, It's not living. It cannot testify to Christ. The person.
But where music with words has a focus.
No, words are not Christian. No, the words can't make a song Christian.
I think words can, words are from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so
words cannot make a
define whether you're a Christian or not.
Words cannot make a man Christian. Sorry.
Well, no, obviously not that, but you can identify a Christian by what he says.
Nope. Nope.
Yep.
No, no, you can't.
Our words will reveal us.
No, you cannot, Diana. You cannot. You cannot.
Given enough time, enough words, you can definitely.
Given enough. Wait, what'd you say? Given enough time.
And enough words.
No, not words. Because what does time bring?
Time brings information.
That makes those words more valuable.
Well, you get more of them. And more, you get more information about a person. You can have discernment about where they're at. And you can be like, oh, that's where you're at.
Because their words are eventually what? What happens to their words? What are they backed by? They're not backed by more words.
Their heart.
Their heart. Their actions.
No, their heart.
Their actions.
The actions come from the heart too.
But the actions are the only thing that can solidify the words. Because if you're saying the words is what makes somebody Christian.
The heart makes them Christian. But the words identify whether or not they're Christian.
No, but that's not true.
The heart, the mouth speaks.
No, but how many people... Okay, I can probably point out to you about 5 number one songs that you probably sing that are from Christian bands that they didn't even write. I can point out to you number one songs. I can point out to you the two... a song that was number one for about 30 weeks on Christian radio that my friend who produced it had to pay the lead singer, which you know, which everyone knows who he is, just to get in to sing the song. Because he didn't want to come in unless he got paid more. And it was number one on Christian radio for weeks, almost a whole year. Words do not make something Christian. If that was the case, I can give a Christian song to anyone and they can sing it and it will, you will, every one of you will think he's Christian. He just has to play the part. Words make
somebody Christian. I was just saying as an identifier, you can say that's a Christian song or that's.
But that's the danger,
it's not
Diana.
About Jesus.
That's the danger because it's not the words. It's the spirit behind the song that makes a song Christian.
Right. Right.
The spirit, right. Not the words. Not the words.
Well, you get the spirit from the words sometimes.
That's not true.
Sometimes you do.
No, you get the spirit. You were right earlier. From the heart of the person that wrote the song, there is an intent when a song goes out. Let me give you an example. This microphone allows me to communicate to people and tell them the story of God. So I can make a song about this microphone. And my intent is, God, thank you for the person who created this microphone. This thing is so dope that it allows me to talk to freaking Diana and get my message of you out. So I'm going to make a song about how much I love this microphone. And to you, you know why I'm writing it. I'm writing it because I'm grateful. I have gratitude for the person that created this mic, that created this little machine that I use. I'm grateful for these sneakers. Why? Because I think the guy who created them is genius. So I'm going to write a song about these sneakers because I'm grateful for the guy. I'm going to write about this mic. I'm going to write about this machine. And I'm so grateful that you created people that can make stuff like this that allows me to communicate the gospel. You're going to listen and say, where's God in this?
And I'm probably not going to listen to a song about sneakers.
And you wouldn't listen to it. Having no clue... Having no clue the conversation that went on with God between the artist before he's
right
before
because song. Okay, if we're going to talk about art, we're going to talk about music, it's all about interpretation at that point, right? Like if I'm going to listen to a song that's a love song between a husband and a wife, I can turn it into a worship song in a second. As long as it doesn't have like certain words in it, I can turn that into a worship song any second, right? So like, I know what you're saying, but the truth is that I love it when you sing about God. I love hearing.
But I'm always singing about God.
Singing about God, it fills my heart with joy to hear artists, even secular artists, sing Christian songs. I've heard that before.
There's no such thing as Christian songs.
Secular, I know. But my dad and I have that conversation all the time. But I really honestly think there's things that glorify God, bring glory to God, and there's things that sadden him, and there's things that suck, and that are all sin and darkness oriented. And so we can decide between those things, and they can be art, and they can be music, and it is about interpretation. And I did used to listen to a lot of really dark music that affected my soul to the point where I can't listen to it anymore. Because my spirit is disturbed by it.
And most likely because the spirit behind the song had the intention of that.
But I disagree with that, because when you look at the artists, like, for example, Amy Grant, who's coming out and doing all this weird crap now. And, you know, I listened to a few of her songs back in the, or even Katy Perry listened to a few of their songs. They're not making Christian music anymore. Like, they're not doing Christian, like, fruits. You know, they're not showing anything in their life that brings glory to God necessarily that I can recognize as a Christian, as a family.
But how do you know?
But I will listen to songs they did before.
But how do you know?
And I can still listen to that music. And you know what? That brings glory to God for me.
Diana, but how do you know? How do you know? Right now, I write music.
Information I have about people.
But that is so scary. Don't you think that you're making decisions?
I meet these people. I met you by chance.
But you have to acknowledge that this is not healthy. You can't just make proclamations about people without knowing them. Right now, I do sync music. I write music for film and TV. So I write positive music for brands that want to communicate something. So a lot of my music is about never giving up. Keep going. Don't stop. Be into yourself. Like, have positive things, right? I never mention God. Sometimes I do. But my God knows why I'm making these songs. And he knows that I'm glorifying him. But you'll listen to my music and say, oh, I wish his music was more about God.
And I'm not judging you for that. I think that's great.
But you don't understand that the music that I was making when I was in Group One Crew, the amount of editing that they made me have to edit, the amount of times that I had to change something because they thought, oh, that could get misconstrued, that can get this. The amount of times that now I can't even listen to that music because it's not authentic. It's just what people wanted to hear because this is what they think is Christian music. When it's not, the times that I wanted to write about suicide or men struggling with masturbation or hard-ass truths that I wasn't allowed to write about. Why? Because K-Love wouldn't play it. Because people would say,
not me.
That's not Christian.
I think that sucks that happened. You know, we need music like that. We need stuff like that.
But it doesn't have to wrap up in a pretty bow. And if I don't say God, or if it doesn't sound Christian enough, people are going to come at it and say, why is this not Christian? And I could have just came out of a prayer meeting where God gave me this song. And somebody will turn around and say, do you know how many times that happened when I was in Group One?
A lot.
I pray over every song that I write, that it will bless people and that it will touch people. Every single song I write, I pray over it. Like almost every day, Diana, when I'm doing my running, my cardio, I listen to my music and I pray over it, that it will bless people, that it will touch people. So when somebody says, this song isn't Christian enough, I don't hear God in this song. Where's God? He didn't say Jesus. He didn't say God. Unknowing that I'm praying for that song every day that it will bless them. But when they hear it, they're not listening with their heart. They're listening with their mind. So they can't even receive the blessing because they're already prejudging me.
Well, and I think that, it, like you said, the spirit behind the song, okay, but the message is what matters, you know, and how people receive that message. Like, for example, if you have a hard truth you want to share with somebody, right? Caleb or whoever is going to say, you know what? They can't handle it. They're going to turn on the radio. They're going to hear that. And they're going to be like, I'm never listening to the station again. What the hell was that? And they're going to turn it off because they can't handle that. And so we have to bridge the gap between, you know, there are people that need that hard truth right now. And the Lord is going to get that to them somehow.
How?
I pray. And there are people that can't handle those hard truths, and they will scare the crap out of them, and they'll leave. You know what I mean? So
you know what's beautiful? Like what you're describing right now. You know what's so beautiful? You're literally describing the post.
Really?
Yeah. you're saying that some people need it a certain way, and God's gonna figure out a way to give it to them. And you want to know how? It's by the people that receive it. Mm. That is my post. Mm-hmm. The 180 comments on there were 175 of them. The people received it. And yet, you were still left saying, I want more God.
No, I'm left saying a whole lot of other stuff now.
Now, but I'm just trying to get you to see the correlation. It's a correlation where you're like, you understand it in this sense with the music. You're like, the people need to receive it. But then in this sense, you're like, oh, but there may be a time because of my own biases that I don't even recognize that they're receiving.
Because and I didn't.
I'm only seeing myself.
I was surprised at how many people jumped my stuff. Like, I was surprised at how the responses that people understood what you were talking about. I'm like, I don't get it. Can someone please explain this to me? Like where, explain it to me. That's why I was asking questions, honestly. Like, obviously I'm from a different world and I need a little of an eye opener, you know? And so I did come out at it with this, like my personality is 110% all the time.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, there's no use beating around the bush. Like, that's how I felt in that moment. I had a second. I was sitting there waiting for, you know, things, blah, blah, blah. The hell, and so I put this on there and then I walked away from it and then I come back, I'm like, what's happening? Like,
don't get me wrong, I used to be the same way. Like, no, so I'm not
normally I don't
I'm not even coming at you like that. I used to be the same way, very opinionated, and I open my mouth when I see something.
I really don't usually comment like that. Like, I only do it out of concern, and I did want to get people to think, and I'm glad I did. Honestly, I'm glad I got you riled up and everybody all triggered. And I mean, it's fine. You know, I'm willing to take all that heat and just be like, well, this great discussion came out of it. I got to know you better. I understand your world a little bit better, their world a little bit better. And you didn't get a chance to understand mine because that's not what we're talking about.
Yeah, but I'm actually quite sad about that because I want to know about your world. This is not, I am not a person that, when I have these conversations, like, I want to know you. I don't, well, I'm not comfortable with not knowing you because then I can have some kind of, reference. My grace grows for you. If you tell me, this is where I come from, this is what I deal with, then now when you pop off in your mouth, my first thought is, oh, I know where it's coming from. And you, and there's only grace. There's only grace because I think that's how we should be with each other. Like, oh, they come from this. This is why they're saying that. Grace. Grace, mm-hmm. Not judgment, yeah. Grace. I know them now. So, mm-hmm. And just from this conversation, I can tell you have a sweetheart and I honestly feel like we would be like real friends, like legit homies. Like, yeah. I honestly feel like you're a sweetheart. You're not whatever. And I'm excited for people to see this because I really feel like they're going to get the same impression. I really do. I really feel like they're going to be like, oh, she's not what we thought she was. And she's not this person that we like attacked. And bruh, I'm telling you, stuff like this is what moves the needle in people's lives, man. It really does change the way people interact with each other. And that, my dear, is what I have put upon my shoulders. Is like, I can't control anyone's page, but I can sure as hell try to dictate the energy that's on my page. And if I can get these conversations going and change one mind, that now when they move forward, they're going to think twice about when they post on somebody else's page, because a lot of people aren't strong like me. Like, they'll take that crap for real and then they'll get depressed and then they'll start thinking, I'm not good enough. Is this bad now? Bruh, when I have my Louis Vuitton luggage set, I bought a whole set and it's going to trigger you. This cost me about $15,000 for a whole luggage set. And
that surprises me.
It stayed in boxes for 8 months because of fear that if I brought it out on Christian tours, that they would judge me. That's not God. That's not God at all. It's living under that shame, under that fear of like, bro, if you like this, get it. Don't nobody know how much I give. They don't know how much I'm giving away.
I think that, you know, just like, we don't want to cause our brother to stumble either. You know, there's a balance. Like, even if the stumbling means that there's this misunderstanding, you know? So I think being aware of how you're perceived, even if it's not correct.
You can't help
being
that, though.
Being a worker, how you're perceived.
You can't help that.
You can't please everybody.
No,
I get
it's
it.
Like impossible. It's impossible because before I had that luggage set, people were still saying, oh, he about money, he about money.
Well,
and they didn't even know me.
Well, and I regret, making you feel that way. And I, honestly, I have so much, I pray for you guys, all you artists, Christian artists a lot, because I'm a singer and I love music and I have a unique relationship with music. And, I know it's gotta be a burden, and it's definitely, you're in the limelight, you're out in the front, people are watching. And it is a higher calling. It's something that takes, it's more, you're more accountable for a lot of things. And so it is a hard choice to say, how am I going to be perceived? And is this going to bring glory to God or not? And
I used to,
have to just toss it aside.
I used to be afraid of that. And I used to use the word accountable because I really used to try hard. Mm-hmm. I took that, that verse that you said, making your brother stumble, because people would always throw that in our face. And I've seen so much. I've seen Blanca when we were traveling wear jeans underneath skirts and shirts on top of shirts and still get people sending messages that she was too sexy on stage. Still, the amount of time I've edited verses to placate people and still, this isn't Christian enough. The amount of times that we have bent over backwards trying to be Christian enough for people who thought that they knew what Christian enough even meant, and it still wasn't enough.
No, it's never.
Now I know I will never use that verse to actually dictate how I live. Because you could say, people use this against women a lot, don't make a man stumble. It's your responsibility to whatever, right? Mm-hmm. But yet they're so closed-minded that they don't think there's men that have every kind of fetish in the world. There's men that have feet fetish. But you won't think, hey, man, you're wearing sandals. You can make a man stumble. Do you actually think that? There's people that have hair fetishes. There's people that have rubber fetishes. And if you have rubber jelly flip-flops that are the most tamest thing in the world, and they're just like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my... Do you know what I'm saying? The list is endless on things that people think, feel. Humanity is so wide that when we make bold strokes and sayings like this, it's like you don't even know what you're talking about because you're only seeing it from your own perspective. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to step outside of yourself and think, man, I don't know it all. And my ideologies probably are not the best ones to go by. The best way to understand life is to give people grace because you want grace. Hmm. So extend to people, which is the golden rule, which is why it's, I don't understand why it's so hard to Christians. You just treat people how you want to be treated. Hmm. You would never want to get to a place where you have a platform and then just let people ring out of what they think about you. Oh, this ain't Christian enough. This ain't Christian. Imagine you writing a song or doing something and no matter how hard you try, you pray it over it, you fast it over it, then you presented it to the world, and somebody's going to come say, this ain't Christian, and I don't even feel Jesus in this.
Yeah.
It'll break your heart. Trust me, from somebody.
I don't want to break your heart.
No, I'm good. We had this conversation.
I think, having brothers and sisters out there that will give us a little poke and a prod and get us to think a little bit isn't a bad thing. And I definitely, and I've been told this a lot, I could go about it in a more kind and respectful manner. And sometimes I'm impulsive and I just say stuff. And
have you ever done the Enneagram?
What?
Have you ever taken the Enneagram test?
No, I don't like stuff. I took one. It wasn't that one, but I took something like that.
You should take the Enneagram test.
I probably should.
It's
Everybody else has.
When I tell you it will help you understand yourself more, your tendencies, it is healing. We just did a live podcast on Friday in San Diego about the Enneagram and relationships and how it helps healing. When you can understand who you are, who your partner is, the people around you, these things are so spot on, especially this one, the Enneagram test. It is so spot on. So I'm an eight. It kind of sounds like, from what you're saying, you're an eight. And when you're an unhealthy eight, you can be commanding. Your communication that's passionate can be seen as attacking. You have a tendency of rolling over people because you just get right to the point. You beeline it. You don't like fake stuff. You don't like facades. You like tearing that kind of crap down. And you don't notice that you're hurting people in the process.
But, or care.
But you do it because you really do care, though. You're trying to protect the weak. You're trying to.
Well, I don't care about feelings as much as I care about results.
Me too. That's how I feel. I'm the same way. And my wife always tells me, you have to care about feelings. I'm like, why? I know what the problem is. I know how to fix it. All this extra stuff is just a waste of time. But then have to sit back and be like, that's my unhealthy side of my eight.
Yeah. I know, because we need to have compassion, so.
We have to treat people how we would want to be treated. And so now I'm like, keep your mouth shut, let her feel all the feels, try to understand, you know, don't provide answers, just listen. And it is so hard for me, but I have to be self-aware, you know, and I think... Mm-hmm. This conversation is that, Diana, and I'm so glad that you made time for it. I'm so glad because I promise you it's going to bless people. And I know from just talking to you, I feel like that's your heart. So I know that I know that I know that just you coming on and having the courage to speak to me, I know it's going to bless people and it's going to be a result of you having the courage to have this conversation. And I think it's going to help people think, oh, that wasn't that bad. We don't have to like scream at each other or make derogatory comments or... You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it just doesn't have to be that when two people are truly here for more God and more understanding.
Yeah.
If someone isn't, then it's going to get snarky. It's going to get negative. It's going to get name-call-y. And I've had that before.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But yeah, no, it was from a pastor. From a pastor. So I didn't air it because I'm like, bruh, you don't look so good on this one. But I'm grateful. Thank you so much. Yeah,
thank you so much for also taking the time and you know, hearing me out. And this was a really good experience. So
you are worth it. I don't just really consider people on my page just like fans. I consider it like a family thing. So I fully believe you are worth it. And whenever you would like to tell me your story, I would love to hear it. I'm not BSing you. Like, if you just want to drop me a message, I'd love to hear it so I can learn from you and learn perspective. Like, I really, really, really would.
Okay. Yeah, I'll get around to it.
Please do. And if you take the test, I think you should. I think it would bless you. Let me know what number you end up. And we have a couple of podcasts that we did about the Enneagram, and I can send them to you. And maybe they'll help you out. Tell your pops I said thank you, and I'm sorry that you went longer than supposed to. Tell them I'm sorry. But that I appreciate his daughter.
Oh, thanks a lot, Manny. Appreciate you.
Yes, ma'am. All right, you have a good night.
All right, you too.
Bye.
Bye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.